Today is Sunday, March 2nd, 2008. I am the uncle.
And I am Charlie. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. This is our first UncleCast after the victorious and highly productive trip to Toy Fair 2008 in New York City. And, man, that was quite a thing, wasn't it, Uncle?
You know, Charlie, if I could only use one adjective to describe the 2008 Toy Fair that took place at Jacob Javits Center in New York City, it would be overwhelming.
Oh, that is a very apt description. I know that, both you and I spent about the first couple hours of the show just wandering about numb, as if in a daze.
I mean, there was just, I don't even know, did we even get a final tally on how many different vendors were there?
I mean, I don't know, except I had heard ahead of time that it was about 1,500, I think was the projected number.
1,500, and I would believe that. I was going to say, in my estimation, upwards of 500. But, you know, now that I think about it, 1,500 sounds much more accurate, because this convention, for all any of you listeners that aren't familiar with it, it is the biggest toy show, I would say, in the United States, and it is open only to buyers, the manufacturers themselves, and representatives of the media. So both you, both Charlie and myself, and, of course, our special correspondent, Dan, got in through the Parrot Game Preserve to just, you know, report and take pictures. And Charlie's been doing a great job of posting many, many different galleries of all the items we saw. And it, again, it was just a sea, a virtual sea of product, Charlie. Now, I just want to know, if you could only choose three items from all of the ones that we saw, this is going to be a very challenging question. What were the three that stood out in your mind the most, the things you really want to get?
Oh, man. That's a really, really good question. Because I've been going through so much different stuff. There's a lot of stuff that flies through my mind immediately. I think the highlight of the show for me, and it was something that I should have been more familiar with, but I just was not moving in those circles yet, was learning more about the Kayato, the Revoltech line, and the organic products stuff that they make, and just learning about their products was really so wonderful and eye-opening. And this is something that you were already really well familiar with, but it took me actually going through their booth firsthand, talking to their guy, being shown every product, you know, seeing the little demo of the joints, because he had the little, like, their special posable joints in, like, you know, not in a figure, just sitting there on the table. You
can the special ratcheting joints of the Revoltech figures. Yeah,
and, you know, just their stuff was really nice. They'd had those great Mazinger figures. Like, he was really excited about it, so I was excited about it, too. And I really love the Transformers figures that they do, even though, you know, it goes against my grain of not necessarily always embracing non-transforming figures, which is why I'm always talking smack about the Action Master. Yeah, Action Masters? Yeah. But they've got these four, and if you want to count the Friend Shop Special 5 of Ultra Magnus. So they've got the Hot Rod and Starscream coming out. And I don't know, the Hot Rod and the Starscream are just really good-looking figures. You know, they come out later this month, I believe. I've pre-ordered both of those from Hobby Link Japan, and so I'm really kind of looking forward to those. So I think those are on my list.
I actually, Charlie, I happen to own both Revoltech Megatron and Revoltech King X-Kaiser. I'm sorry, not King X-Kaiser. I can't remember the name. The guy with the giant skull in his chest?
Yeah, that opens and closes, right? The jaw?
Yeah, that's the one that I have. His name escapes me at Guy King. That's
Guy King.
I have Guy King, Revoltech Guy King and Revoltech Megatron, and they're just so much fun. They just have such a nice design to them, and they're supremely posable. And while, of course, I can't get them into the super cool poses they have on the package, because I'm kind of, you know, my stubby fingers or whatever, they're super fun to play with.
So if they need the disclaimer like the Hasbro packages. Some poses may require hand support.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Guy King actually comes with a stand.
Uh-huh.
So you can, like, plug a little bolt into his back and have him do a flying jump kick through the air.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the pictures of that. Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, so number one would be your Voltech. What's number two, Charlie?
All right. Number two. I think, let's see. It's funny how something that stands out in my mind is, here's definitely a number two. A number two is one of Corgi. It was in the Corgi booth, and I don't remember if it's Master Replicas who actually makes it, but one of those 1-to-1 scale Muppet figures, and you know, probably the Fozzie or the Gonzo. And I might have to go with Fozzie, just because he looks so happy and friendly, and it's just the perfect Fozzie bear. And, you know, anybody who's been reading along probably saw that on the main news page on the Preserve, and just, I was delighted how well the picture came out, for one. Because, as has happened many times, because we were very new to this, Uncle, that was one of the many occasions where we didn't have an appointment, it was totally a closed booth, and the Corgi booth was huge, folks. Like, it was a booth on each side of an aisle, and like a huge amount to tour on both sides. And actually, I went through there on the last day, and you know, things were winding down, they didn't have a lot of appointments, and they were nice enough to take me through, but they did have a guy coming right on my heels there, so I kind of was rushing through to get all the shots, and then had to go to clear the decks. But that Fozzie Bear is just gorgeous. I know the Gonzo is actually available at Big Bad Toy Store right now for a pre-order, and the Gonzo's going for like $280. You know, a lot of money, but it's a gorgeous reproduction, and I was actually kind of interested to see that it was as little money as it was. I suspected they could have gotten even more for it. And these things are fully posable. This isn't just a statue. They have it worked up, so they are fully posable, which is wild. So that, I think, has to be number two.
Yeah, I had seen your galleries on the Preserve, and I had done a little bit of internet research my own, just reading about what these things were all about. Do you know what the product line is called?
No, I really don't. I mean, I don't even know. There's so few of them. They've only made four. They've done an Animal, Kermit, Gonzo, and Fozzie. I'm not sure they have anything other than, like, Muppet replica.
yeah, just because I was looking at an online review of the Animal. And, like, I really, I feel like the pictures didn't do it justice, only because I was seeing pictures of it on the internet, and I really think when you actually see it in person that, you know, it's just a whole different ballgame. Because Animal certainly looked just like Animal from The Muppet Show, but like you said, it's got the internal skeleton, and it's posable, and, you know, it's got that really expensive fur. So those things, I have to concur, those are really cool looking.
Yeah, yeah, so that's number two, and I guess number three... And it's something that we saw on the NECA booth. I really just, having an action figure of Danny Trejo is just so great. And the fact that very soon hitting the shelves, and you know, let's hope they find out a way to package him with the roof of the limousine as he was pictured in their gallery, as everybody can see in the NECA gallery that we've got on the Preserve. We do know the figure's coming out. We're not sure about the limo, but I, you know, of all the products there, of course, I am just very excited that Danny Trejo at last has his own action figure. So I'm going to put that at number three.
Very cool.
And now, Uncle, I turn the tables on you. And I know that you've been thinking about this question since you hit me up with it. I got to hear what your three picks are.
Well, number one, the first one that just popped in there, as Ray Stans is apt to say, is when we went to see Toy Vault's booth, they had a stuffed plush King Ghidorah.
I thought so.
The three-headed Godzilla villain with a sound chip implanted in his chest that when you press it, he screams. You know, he does the Ghidorah scream.
And it was serious, too.
Like, it was pretty loud, and I just saw that thing. And I was like, you know what, this is going to be mine. I mean, that one just...
Yeah, that says Uncle all over it.
Now, number two I really want to talk about is, it's something now, I know we've talked about this at length. I don't know if we've done so on the UncleCast, but, you know, Hasbro has the new Indiana Jones line coming out.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you and I actually went into the Hasbro's own building and saw the tour... The Desert Convoy truck.
Oh, yeah.
The classic Raiders of the Lost Ark. Just because, you know, I remember reading about that in one of the action figures. I think it was either Lee's Toy Review or Tomart's, about how that was just the piece to obtain from the original Indiana Jones Kenner line, and it was, you know, upwards of $300 for a box sample on eBay. So just for the fact that I'm going to be able to, for probably around, I would guess $20, but don't quote me on that.
Right.
I don't know if they had actual MSRPs listed. That I'm going to be able to buy that and an Indiana Jones and a couple of enemy soldiers to drive it and an Arabian horse.
Yes.
Like, you know, I was trying very hard to resist this 3¾ Indiana Jones line, but then I went to the Toy Fair booth and I realized, you know, I might not get the whole line like Charlie's certainly going to, but I'm definitely going to get just enough figures to recreate that desert truck chase sequence.
Oh, man. Well, I am delighted that some aspect of this line has been able to suck you into it. That's fantastic. Very good to hear.
And number three, you know, that's really a tough one. That is a very tough one because, we saw so much cool product, and there was just a veritable onslaught of... of things to look at and things to do. But in terms of things I really want to buy, I'm going to have to say that Master Replica's Link to the Past Master Sword.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to see that in the flesh. I believe you went there the day that I had work.
Yep, that was the last day.
Check that out. But, I saw the full pictorial review on, ParryGamePreserve.com, and I really want one of those. Like, I never bought one of the Star Wars lightsabers because, it's a long story, but myself and Star Wars have diverged.
Yeah, that's right.
I wish to spend no more of my income supporting what I view to be a soulless
endeavor.
Right, exactly. So I never bought the lightsabers, but they really look cool. But the fact that they're doing one from Legend of Zelda, just one of my favorite video game franchises of all time, of the Master Sword. Day one, whenever that pre-order goes up,
yeah.
I am going to click right away and get that.
And I think it really looked nice in person. Like, a lot of the pictures that I put up, it's hard to get a notion of scale, like with the Muppets especially and with the sword. But, hopefully there was enough in the pictures to just let you see it's a good size. It's really a serious-looking piece of equipment. And, it's very nice.
Now, I have to ask, Charlie, did you get to hold and swing and play with the Master Sword when you
No, I did not. I'm not. I doubt that was actually a part of the tour. I perhaps could have asked, but that was, as I said, we were rushing. The gentleman who took me around was very nice, but it was clear that he in fact, even told his next appointment to wait while he was giving me the tour. So I was really trying to be polite and actually hurry up. But, I didn't get to, though then he demoed that crazy Halo thing that's also in the gallery. Which was kind of funny.
And you know what? I'm just going to throw a number four in there. I know I said only three, but this one's going to be very quick. When we were in Hasbro's room, they debuted us a new Nerf gun.
Oh, you love that thing.
The Vulcan, which is bright orange. It runs on 6D batteries.
Yeah, insane.
And I don't know what actual type of machine gun it's supposed to,
Think Predator, right?
Yeah, it's very similar to the weapon that everyone's favorite at the Preserve, Bill Duke, wields in The Predator, and it has its own hopper, and I think it shoots 50 rounds rapid fire through a chain-fed belt, and I just held that thing in my hands, and I knew, Charlie, that I had to buy one the day it came out. Great.
The picture of you with that weapon is really spectacular, and I'll hopefully get that posted tonight. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. So that would be my fourth of the real strong items that, I really have to run out and buy.
Definitely. All right. That's a good number four with, the asterisk, bonus item.
The bonus round. And now one more thing, and this is going to be another question. Since going to Toy Fair, have there been any new acquisitions that you made based on what you were shown at Toy Fair?
That's an excellent question. I think, and this could be, again, due to my shoddy memory, as near as I've been able to tell, most of the stuff that we've seen from Toy Fair has not yet hit the shelves. Now, granted, the big caveat is that a lot of these companies really also had stuff on display that was already released. Something that comes to mind is Playmates, where all the Turtle stuff you said, except for, I guess, those shell shifters, which are those kind of exosuit transforming things, just about all the Turtle stuff is actually in stores right now. So, and I know that was the case with a lot of different companies and Lego and whatnot, though they showed us a fantastic amount of new product as well. I think, and it hasn't happened fortunately, but you've certainly gotten me to start looking at the Playmobil stuff in terms of just keeping track of it, if nothing else. And also, I was so impressed with Lego's offerings that I've been much more serious in terms of keeping up with their various sets, kind of learning more about it. And something I didn't mention to you, I don't believe, is that I recently joined their, I believe it's called the Buildmaster, or
Brickmaster, I think it's called.
Yeah, the Brickmaster Club. So you're familiar with this?
I'm fairly. Is that, it's like a club, and they send you pieces every month and instructions? Or
yeah, the way I understand it, it's a club. It has like a nominal. It's not a small fee, but it's not gigantic. And apparently, over the course of the year, you get six sets. Like, you get a set every 2 months. And I don't know how big these sets are, but they're of some sort. So right away, that's pretty decent. What really pushed me over the edge, and actually, I got to give a nod to the dudes over at CoolToyReview.com. They had a little blurb yesterday, or 2 days ago, that the Brickmaster members will be privy to a members-only Indiana Jones Lego set. And so I said, well, all right, I guess I'll join and see what's up with this set. That was just too enticing for me, since I've really... And I know that you're... you know, your jury, and I wouldn't say your jury is out, your jury has already ruled in favor of against the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And even though we saw some pretty excellent products there in their booth, I don't know if that's changed your mind at all, but I think since I was pretty serious about the first wave of Indie LEGO, I'll probably get the second wave as well. And so getting this members only exclusive really is that cherry on top I couldn't do without.
You know, I mean, just that one set, that main centerpiece of the line, the Aztec or Mayan or whatever it's called, temple with all the different traps and features and stuff. I mean, that looks supremely, supremely awesome, like a lot of fun. And something I might actually be interested in getting, but again, it depends on the movie. If the movie is, you know, not great, I'm going to have a much harder time, you know, spending $100 on a set for, you know, something I don't want to wish to think about or relive.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the movie turns out to kick ass. So.
Well, and, you know, we just, I don't know if you, I don't believe I talked to you about this or if you noticed it on The Preserve, but we just did an indie movie marathon on Friday night. We watched all three films just because it had been a while, and that was a really great time and really made us, or, you know, me at least, even more excited for the upcoming product offerings because the movies are now so fresh in my mind.
That sounds like a really good time. So you got all three. Now, was there any special food or drinks? Or?
Well, there were some hot dogs and rum. Does that count?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I figure, I know whenever you do a movie marathon, it's normally an event. I thought maybe you did made special pudding. And
I would have loved to do the snake surprise, but I just couldn't get it together.
Some Jello, you know, chilled monkey brains and goblets for everyone.
That'd be nice. The dinner in a movie like Full Effect was not totally on. It was lucky we even pulled it off in the first place. But you know, your heart's in the right place, and a lot of people actually couldn't make it. So I would like to do it again before the fourth movie actually hits theaters. So maybe I'll work up a bit of a larger to do next time, something like that. You know, I've got a number four that I've got to throw in there too. It didn't occur to me when you asked the question because I was racking my brains, but it's something I've been yammering at everybody about because I'm so excited, is the Mighty Mugs Mola Ram figure. And I'm very excited about the Mighty Mugs Mola Ram. It's just so sharp and its detail and the colors are great and it has the little vinyl heart that he's holding in his hand. It's just an awesome looking figure and I can't wait to get that.
No, yeah, that was another very strong product offering when we saw that.
And I know, I'm sure the Mighty Mug, the opinions run hot and cold, love or hate, all that kind of stuff. Fortunately, I'm not, you know, trying to get all of them, but I guess, you know, I'll get a couple, and that one just really, really, I'm delighted by. And I guess there are only three or four for Indy, so that may be part of, you know, the quote-unquote getting the whole set that just kind of has to happen.
Now, when you were watching any of the movies, and I know you because I think the same way. Were you thinking about 3¾ items that you'd like to see?
It was just so delightful having done so much research in the recent weeks, especially about the old Kenner line, looking at the playsets from the Kenner line and whatnot, and then just Raiders of the Lost Ark was just such a delight, seeing what a good job they did with kind of the limited, you know, facilities of making those playsets and those figures, but just really including so many fun details from the movies. And, you know, looking forward to seeing those same details, and like you were saying, with a cargo truck and bringing that scene about. And I actually was walking around the room with a laptop showing people the pictures from the indie gallery, like, look, there's the truck. So, yeah, I was very excited, definitely.
No, but, you know, you're right. I mean, for a pretty small price point, and, you know, Kenner really did a great job with those smaller playsets. With like that map room looked phenomenal.
Yeah,
Street of Cairo also looked awesome.
It even has like Marion hiding in the basket and like the monkey and everything. It's great.
Yeah, just a lot of play value, and I really hope that that's continued forward because, you know, that playset that we saw that's up in the preserve, as I had told you, is a reworked one from Star Wars Episode III: Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the playset, but it was very clear to me that they just kind of took that mold and repurposed it.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
I don't even know if a sequence like that occurs in the actual film, but
right.
I guess we can see about that.
Oh, and here's another thing. Seeing the movies again just reminded me what an absolute unmitigated delight Sean Connery is in the third one, and just how great that is, you know. And seeing that really brought it home that while it's expensive and while I really am not trying to get into the statue collecting that the statue, and I believe it's Kotobukiya who did it, or Gentle Giant, one of the two, the statue of Sean Connery that's coming out with the umbrella over his shoulder and the satchel and like the seagull accessory is just, I think, one of the most gorgeous tributes to a one of the greatest scenes, I think, really, and in all of cinema history. And that statue is just such a beautiful tribute to that, that I think I may have to pick that up.
Now, do you know how much that's going to run?
There is a pre-order for that statue up on BigBadToyStore.com right now for $89-something. So about $90, it looks like, unfortunately.
Oh, I don't actually consider that bad. I guess
it's not. It's as far as these statues go, that's actually pretty reasonable. Or as far as, you know, even a sideshow figure were to go. So yeah, that's not bad.
That sounds very cool. I'm going to have to check that out. Because
yeah, and you know, there's the indie figure that kind of goes along with that, and both the indie figure and the Sean Connery figure from that line have, like, two sets of arms, because they're not really articulated, but you can swap in the different parts and give them a very different pose, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's a very... So it's not like the statue is just fixed in one pose.
You can So, you know, while it's not necessarily articulated, you can at least set it up differently, and then each pose is very iconic from the movie, which is cool.
And those are, again, made by Kotobukiya.
I believe so. We should double-check that, unless you're sure about that.
All right, very cool.
Yeah. So, you know, and talking about Hasbro, of course, I don't know, we saw a lot of good stuff. I think the Transformers is going to be kind of a... Well, I think I'm pretty committed to the Universe line, because I really love the, you know, a.k.a. Classics 2.0. Because those warm my heart. I'm not sure about animated. That may be one of those things that just kind of happens in the store if I'm overwhelmed with joy at seeing them, and, you know, there you go.
Translation, dear listeners, Charlie's also buying animated.
Very glad you have your Rosetta Stone handy. Good job. And, you know, and then there's the Joes. And I got to say, the Joes, while they weren't displaying as much as I would have liked, I think just the notion, just the idea, just the news that we've gotten from Hasbro and other sites that have talked to Hasbro and brought this story, the fact that they're doing these DVD packs is just spectacular. Just so good. So exciting.
I mean, what a wonderful opportunity also to get the actual G.I. Joe the movie on DVD, which I believe fetches a premium on eBay.
Yeah, which is
out of print permit for like 5 years now.
Exactly. It's totally inaccessible at this point, and that's going to just, you know, change that market all around. So hopefully all the hoarders are probably dumping their DVDs as quick as they can on eBay right now.
Wow, and you know what that means, folks? Charlie's going to get one because he needs a copy of the Rhino version to go with the copy that he gets from his 5-pack.
That would be nice, because much like the Transformers 20th anniversary DVD release, maybe they went and screwed it up, so who knows?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Because that certainly had some terrible colors, and I'm glad I've got the old DVD. I don't know.
I believe it added sound effects as well, but that's a whole other topic for
another day. Now, aside from products that you saw that you're really excited about, were there any other just kind of overall companies or experiences or anything that stood out in your mind from the show?
You know, I really did like, and I actually went out and bought it based on the strength of the presentation, the Teddy Scares line.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I think the company that makes it is Apple Industries? Or
That does sound right, and unfortunately I didn't attribute it to them on the site. I actually called the gallery Teddy Scares, but yeah, that would be good to actually give them a nod directly.
And actually, I went out, you know, when we were together, and I picked up one of them, and unfortunately I haven't opened him yet. He sits in the large pile of my unopened stuff. Rapidly growing day by day, I might add. And,
absolutely.
Once I get a camera up and running, I'm going to take pictures and just, we can link it to the site. And he's just got such a cool feature. His skin is removable, and like you can peel the skin away off of his face. Because
that's right. You got that one, my favorite.
Yeah, that's something that every teddy bear should do, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it really looked cool, and I'm very happy that I bought it and excited to open it. So
every well-adjusted child should have a removable skin teddy bear. That's right.
Absolutely. It's like you can pretend that you're Hellraiser and Jesus wept, and you can just take
awesome. So that's one product that you went out and bought on the strength of what we saw. Was there anything else that
Well, You know, we also went to Playmobil, and I think they had a really nice display going on, and there's just been a lot of Playmobil stuff I've been looking to get into the market to go out and purchase, and I've really been enjoying the two packs, which you can just are readily available at Target, and they only have an MSRP of $299, and you get two figures to fight each other with, and they all come with weapons and armor and removable stuff.
Yep.
I fear that I've been bitten by that bug, and I'm going to just jump full bore into that line because it's something that, you know, I've always wanted a really, you know, large and imposing Playmobil castle, and I think now is the time to do it.
I think you are pretty close to doing that. I have a feeling. and I know you love that Ghost Pirate very much. As soon as that comes out, that's yours.
Oh, no, that Ghost Pirate is awesome. I might even get a couple of them and just get a pirate ship and make a pirate ghost ship. How awesome is that?
Oh, you can't beat that, man. That's awesome. Nice job.
Yeah, you know, like, here's my Ghost Pirate ship. Like, you know, there's just stuff like that that's just so cool. And, you know, I'm really having trouble resisting buying that Lego castle that we saw previewed, the one with the skeletons.
Oh, yeah.
That actually is retailing for only $80 at Walmart, whereas at Toys R Us and Target, it's $99.99.
That's a good price.
I'm considering picking that up as well. And there's just, you know, Charlie, I mean, you know the way it is. There's always a lot of stuff that, you know, you want to go out and buy, but you kind of have to keep a leash on it. I mean, I also will throw in, I might add, that I have, they're re-releasing, Takara is re-releasing Omega Supreme for the Transformers one, you know, the original mold, and I have that on pre-order.
Oh, fantastic.
With Megatron, the Classics Megatron, the first version of Classics Megatron painted in actual G1 colors.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another
one. You have that on pre-order as well?
Yeah, the two of those. So that's another $140 right there.
Hey, you know. That's excellent, though. Those will be two very nice pieces. That's good.
And again, neither of those last two are previewed at Toy Fair, but I just saw pictures on the internet, and I was like, yep, I'm buying them.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's a fair decision. Absolutely. So, well, Uncle, I was thinking maybe we'll duck out for an intermission right now, and then we'll come right back.
Sounds great.
All right, folks. Enjoy. We'll see you in a minute. All right, everybody, welcome back. So, Uncle, I know we are both still brimming over with thoughts about Toy Fair. I'll open the floor to you, and if not, I've got plenty of things on my mind.
You know what? Why don't you start us off, Charlie?
All right. You know, I was impressed how, in general, everybody was really nice to us. Did you kind of get that same impression?
You know, I have to say, we were treated very well, you know, 99% of the time at Toy Fair from the representatives. Even if we didn't have an appointment, most vendors, you know, we tried to meet us halfway, and if they couldn't do it right then, you know, they'd reschedule us, and everyone was very nice. And I'd like to just give a special thank you to Playmobil for hooking us up with some excellent samples. So
absolutely.
Thank you very much. Kinex was wonderful as well. I mean, we had a great tour from Lego. It was just a lot of nice tours that we had. And, you know, even the one thing that I really struck, that struck me is you could have the largest, most expensive prime real estate booth in the entire Toy Fair. But I had much more fun at the smaller booths where people would actually, you know, talk to us about their product lines and what, you know, what got them into the industry and why they think it was great. You know, like the fellows at, I think, Mighty Beans, was it?
Oh, at Beantown?
I'm sorry, the Beantowns. I mean,
yeah.
Those guys were just, you know, supremely nice. And, I'm not trying to fault them, but, you know, it's like some people had, you know, these massive booths and weren't nearly as nice or knowledgeable or friendly as you know, the people at Beantown. So it just goes to show you that, you know, personality and presentation goes a very, very, very long way. And I feel like some of that may get a little bit lost.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. That's a great way to put it. And it's so the difference on like a little microcosm of kind of the any sort of industry. When you get really big, you know, that's when you wheel in the professional PR people. You know, they're very abstracted from the product and from any sort of real like interest or love for the product, you know. And,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, I hear Flurry there in the background.
Yeah, no, there she is. I mean, that's the fun of recording at home. We always have new guests.
That's right.
The uncle's household. You never know who's going to pop into
You
the
never do. But I totally agree with you. And the small booths, like especially the Beantown guys, because they were, you know, we're a pretty little outfit, and they were still really excited to talk to us. And I don't know if like not many people were giving them the time of day, but they were delighted that we wanted to stop and take photos of their stuff and like get their press information and all that stuff. And you know, we had a great time talking to them, and they were clearly really excited about their product and how they were growing their line and meeting with some commercial success. And you go to some of the larger places, and granted, you know, some of the larger places would prove us wrong because they also gave us really great tours. But yeah, it was a little more hit or miss, I guess. And you always do like getting that personal touch from a smaller organization. So that really is nice that both the large and the small companies are actually featured at Toy Fair. I think that's some of the real charm and the real strength of the event, that you can see all types. You can see people who it's their very first show, they're trying to get, you know, their product out to a larger audience, and they're really, you know, putting a lot of their livelihood behind it. You know, they've probably scraped up enough money to make these demos and these press kits, and they're really, really hoping that they can get noticed. And so there's really people are going to be very passionate in that situation. And then, of course, they're the big established guys who are just kind of, you know, somewhat going through the paces, but hopefully also, you know, still kind of excited about maybe what their innovation is for that season and also kind of wanting to bring that to everybody. So it's very cool to see both different types.
And then of course, you know, you get to the level where Hasbro is at, where you're not even located in the Javits Center. You have your own entire exclusive building.
Yeah, that's
it's,
really...
you know, harder to get into than the White House.
Yeah, that was really something. I don't know.
Yeah, so...
But, you know, I think something we really screwed up, and again, this was just because we were kind of, we were new at this. I think we've learned better now. We were really curious to see Kotobukiya, to see Gentle Giant, and, you know, we didn't see DC Direct anywhere, and all those guys were in some absurd, like, showroom on Broadway, which is even, you know, at least Hasbro, you could see from the Javits Center, that's like 6, 7, 10 blocks away. And, you know, there's shuttles that run, but that definitely is kind of bordering on inconvenient. And we had no idea that even existed till the last day of the show. And by then, like, I learned about it, like, at 2 p.m. on Wednesday. And by then, everybody was packing their stuff up, and it was like, well, that's a little too late. But, you know, so definitely this event has gotten so big, and some of these companies somehow kind of garner this exclusive status. It's tough to find out how, you know, all those hustles are flowing. I'm not sure, but we're going to have to do some serious legwork, and at least we know, I guess, that's a possibility for next time, whereas this time it was very much like, what, you mean not everybody's in this building? I don't get it.
And again, Charlie, I guess that would explain why those three vendors, when we kept looking through that stupid listing book, we could not find them, because they were not physically located in the Javits Center.
I am kind of surprised they weren't somewhere in the book and at least saying, like, little asterisk, you know, oh, yeah, at the Broadway Center. So who knows what the actual relationship, you know, is in that situation.
Yeah, but I'm certainly glad that you made it. I unfortunately was not able to attend Toy Fair on Wednesday, but you know, I think between Sunday and Tuesday, I certainly had seen my fair share. But I would like to have really seen those guys that you hit on Wednesday, and I'm glad that Preserve got the coverage.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I wasn't there in the flesh, I was able to live vicariously through you and your great pictures that you took.
Ah, fantastic! Yeah, and there was a lot that went down on Wednesday, just in terms of a lot of companies. Though I think we did a very fine job on Monday, I believe it was. I've been really posting like crazy galleries from Monday, and we saw like 20 different companies at least. It's been a slew of pictures. I haven't kept a count, but I would be interested to see how many shots we're actually putting up at the end of the day.
It would probably be pretty large.
I'm thinking around 1,200 is my ballpark. So.
But now, Charlie, I want to talk to you about this very quickly. Did you feel burnt out by this? By the, I guess it would be your fourth day.
I did not, but I'm a very special kind of person. I think in general it's a very tiring event.
Because I certainly, you know, by the end of it was like, I don't even want to see or think about another, you know, pop culture toy property for the next 3 months.
Right.
I've seen it all, you know, whatever. Let the chips fall where they may.
I think the only thing that's burning me out is actually doing the post of the show and doing the galleries, because there's so much material, and there's even more that I would like to be doing. And again, this is where you're going to write some articles for it, which is fantastic. But just getting all those images up, you know, we definitely need a more streamlined process, and that is actually, I think, the real hard part of this. It, for me, kind of going booth to booth, it was still really fun. And on Wednesday, it was also really cool. And I'm sorry that you missed this. Because it was the end of the show and it was kind of winding down, and I think a lot of the press had left, I was trundling along. I actually had my laptop with me. I had like all kinds of bags, and I had my special tag with a big videographer flag stuck to it, and I had camera everywhere. And people were actually like, hey, you want to stop and learn about my product? And I think because I was there by myself too, if the two of us are there and we're talking, you know, somebody's not going to interrupt us to say like, hey, come over here. But I was just kind of wandering around by myself looking, you know, lost and confused, or however I usually look. And some people were like, hey, over here. And as a result, I kind of got to see a couple weird products that I probably wouldn't have stopped for on another day if it was busier. But since I stood out so much, because it's like, hey, look, this guy's still here Wednesday at noon. I thought everyone had left, that I was able to maybe talk to some more people. And like I said, with Corgi, I was able to get the walkthrough there when really their booth probably, you know, they would have been closed. And also, apparently Toy Fair made everybody sign this thing that they weren't allowed to leave before 4 p.m. on Wednesday, because I think with conventions, usually how it works, you know, the last day is kind of like a wash. People are packing up at like 9 a.m. and getting out of there.
Yeah.
But it was funny because it was still just totally packed with the display people and the exhibitors and all the content all the way up through like 2 or 3 p.m., though one guy I talked to said, oh, yeah, now it's kind of a game. You see how much of your stuff you can pack up without it looking like your booth is any more empty. So when 4 o'clock rolls around, you just, like, tape your last box closed and you're out of here.
And you roll out.
Yeah, definitely it was kind of a little ebb and flow, kind of competition they had going on with the organizers to try to get themselves out of there on time but still put forth a good show.
Now, this also could have been my own personal burnout from the experience, but I kind of got that vibe going on Tuesday. That really, you know, not while people were ready to pack up and leave, but there certainly wasn't the energy and intensity that there was on, for example, Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
Any of that?
I think you're totally right. And you called this way before. You were saying, you know, Sunday and Monday are going to be the days, and you're absolutely right. And that's why I think really... And we basically did it right. You know, we had a list, said, okay, these are the companies you really want to see. We want to show everybody NECA and Mezco and Hasbro and, you know, all the
Playmobil and Lego
and
Replicas and General Giant and, you
yeah.
know.
And for the most part, you know, we really succeeded with that, which is great. And, you know, that's a lesson learned, that those first couple of days is where all the energy is going to be. And, of course, it's good to get the scoop and get the info up there as quick as possible. And, you know, if it's a long event, you can do kind of what I did on the last couple of days. Yeah, you kind of see what else is out there. You learn, you explore a little bit, you see who's still sticking around, and that seems to be a good way to go.
That you know, that's a very good strategy. And, oh, and also something else that we learned that I just want to touch on very briefly is the exclusive parties.
Yes, very important. And in fact, this is going to really piss you off. I don't know if you've seen any of this online. Have you seen the exclusive giveaways from these parties?
Don't even talk to me. What did they give away to that one party we got invited to?
I haven't seen anything about that. I think that was the chump party right there. But the Hasbro and the Lego parties, have you seen this stuff?
No, I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, man. Okay, so apparently from the Lego party, there was a Lego. It's basically like a Harrison Ford tribute. And on one side, it has like an indie figure, but it's like a large size indie figure built out of like many blocks. And on the other side is like a Han Solo figure, and it's in this Lexite cube, and they're numbered like 1 to 100. And those are on eBay now for like $500. And apparently they just were like, hey, thanks for coming to our pre-show. Here's this gift. So that's that, which kind of blew my mind. And Hasbro apparently gave out numbered lithographs of Star Wars and Indiana Jones, one each, to every attendee of their party. But again, it only numbered 1 to 100, so these are fairly exclusive tickets. I've actually already emailed our contact at Hasbro, double-checking that these were, in fact, from the pre-show party and not for the tour that we attended that we had somehow perhaps missed receiving. And he assured me they were from the party, and I redoubled my claim to him that I would be very interested in making sure that we attend such party in the future, and et cetera, et cetera. So I was kind of astonished to see the extraordinary level of collectible item that was available at these parties that, you know, is the only way you're going to get it. And talk about a rare and nice and highly desired piece that both of these companies gave out.
And again, you had to attend the pre-show. So wait, only 100 people attended the pre-show? Out of the pre-show, only 100 people got these items.
See, that's what I don't understand yet. I'm not sure. I don't know how that worked. Or if you had to maybe purchase it. I'm not sure.
Because anything that retails on eBay currently for $500, I would very much like to have one for myself.
Yeah.
Collectability and rarity alone. Anything that they only make 100 of, that is rarity. That is collectability.
That's
forget
right.
This 1 of 10,000, 1 of 20,000, who cares? No. 1 of 100.
And I thought that 1 out of 500 double reverse black Marvel girl from the Marvel Legends thing was rare that I found recently, but hey.
Did you actually do an eBay search for that?
Well, no. I mean, it's on eBay. There's a number of them, and they go for like 60, 70 bucks, but, you know, that's it.
Oh, wow.
And again, you know, it's a preserve philosophy. It's not that I'm delighted I have that so I can sell it and afford, like, one fancy dinner. I'm delighted I have it because it's such a great collectible.
Yeah, but no, but again, I'd really have to see these. It would be very hard for me to, at least with the Indiana Jones, to part with that one. But that Star Wars lithograph.
Oh, you would, yeah.
So fast, your head would spin.
That'd be $100 in the uncle's pocket. Yeah.
Absolutely. $100 going right to, I don't know, Transformers or what have you. Or
those of that indie cargo truck.
I could buy the whole first wave and the desert cargo truck and probably the horse, too, for $100.
All right, for the value of the Star Wars lithograph. You know, how poetic.
Absolutely. Like, you guys have fun with Hayden Christensen and let me know how that works out for you.
Exactly. So, you know, I know you'll be upset, but you might as well just go on eBay at some point and just do a search for, like, I don't know, Toy Fair 2008 exclusive. And then see what comes back. There aren't many, but it should at least show you what they are, and it's really interesting to see, you know?
That sounds very, very interesting, and I'm pretty upset that we didn't get it, but you know what? Live and learn.
Yeah, so I mean, so overall, you know, that's kind of our very lengthy diatribe about, you know, stuff we learned.
Yeah, no, that's very exciting.
So I think that overall it was a great success. I'm really proud of the coverage we were able to bring to our readers. I hope everybody's been enjoying it. I hope you're seeing some cool stuff and maybe that you're seeing some cool stuff on the preserve that you're actually not seeing elsewhere, because we tried to cover the big guys but also kind of delve into the smaller ones, like you said, Uncle, about Beantown, the Teddy Scares, and you know also
Shocker Toys was another one. With some very cool products.
That's right. With the Metalocalypse figures that should be coming out, which is pretty exciting, and you know, my kind of fascination about putting up various galleries of plush figures as well as the puppets for you, Uncle. I know you're always very excited about those.
Oh, you reminded me, dude. I have to really, I of course Charlie, when he came over to my place, he took over the knock hockey table that was in my basement, my brother's air hockey, and it's just covered in various things that he bought and all of the literature and samples and bags and items that we both received from Toy Fair. So I really have to go through there and look at those cards so I can order one of those supremely frightening puppets.
Oh, excellent. Yes, indeed. And you can go, actually, I put the gallery up for them last night. I believe they're called Sunny Puppets. And so you can go...
Oh, great, perfect.
Go to the Sunny Puppet Gallery, and you will see there's a link to their crazy website that has really just an astonishing array of products that you will spend hours looking at, because I didn't even try.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that might be number five on your stuff, on your three-item list of stuff you need to buy from the show.
Oh, man. And, you know, again, it's like the real danger is you go there, and there's just, you see all this stuff, and you're like, I just want to buy it. Like, I found myself walking through the toy store being like, man, I wish I could buy something.
Yeah, yeah. And, any of this for sale? No, sir. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think we did a great job with it. I'm really looking forward to next year already and actually setting up, some more appointments, making sure we cover our bases. And I think it's going to be fantastic, and we'll do it even better.
That sounds great, Charlie.
All right, and then everybody needs to keep watching the preserve for at least another day or two as I'm struggling through the last of the pictures here, because I want to make sure that all the great companies I saw, and you know what's really awful is that just because it's been near to the end of kind of the alphabetized list of pictures, the way the numbers worked out is that Beantown hasn't been posted yet, which is really too bad. So I'm going to try to do that tonight, because as you said, they were one of the booths we really enjoyed. And, you know, I definitely am making sure to not miss anyone, but some of the booths are taking a little longer than I wanted to actually get posted. So, yeah, everyone will get their day, and it'll all be there on the roundup. No problem.
That's very cool.
So now, I don't know if you wanted to wrap it up now, or if you have any further thoughts about anything non-Toy Fair related that you want to cover. I have one note otherwise, but Uncle, you got anything else?
Who's Esther?
What?
Okay, they have Mary Magdalene, they have Jacob, they have Moses, and then they have Esther.
I'm afraid I'm not up enough on my scholarly studies to know.
Well, I really don't know what the hell's going on with that Bible, my friend. Oh, they have all the apostles. Wow. Oh, man, this is going to be so... Wow.
And, you know, there are no prices, right? So each one's probably like $100.
No, suggested list price is $49.95.
Oh, so. All right. There you go.
But I guess that's wholesale?
So you can get all the apostles for $600, huh?
Can you imagine? Oh my God. Hey, Cole, someone wants to talk to you. And I just, like, pulled Jesus out of a suitcase.
Your folks come down to the basement, and you're holding a recreation of the Last Supper around the knock hockey table.
With puppets. Oh, God, they would really have to call the authorities on me.
That would be it.
Oh, man, that's such a good idea. You see? You got the ideas. I really like these ideas.
I'm full of them, you know. So, look, I've got one aside. One non-Toy Fair-related aside is, I've been kind of into the Legendary Heroes, which is what Toy Biz kind of released once they stopped releasing the Marvel Legends and all that kind of crazy buyout and transfer of license and whatnot. And there was the Legendary Heroes Build-A-Figure Pit series that came out that was pretty cool. It had, like, Judge Dredd and Savage Dragon and Super Patriot and whatnot. I finally completed the collection of those. I'm very excited to actually open them, gasp for a change, and build the pit.
You opened them. Congratulations.
Oh, no, let's not jump the gun, Uncle. I haven't opened a bloody one yet, but I have great plans to. And actually to get, you know, good photos of the figures actually loose like they should be and, you know, in playable condition and actually put the pit figure together, because that's what enticed me in the series. It's just such a great-looking, gigantic figure. I want to get some shots of that. Series 2, which I had never seen on the pegs, but I did see in Long Island when I visited, you know, that I was astonished that it never made it to my town. And I guess it's even been out for a while, but, you know, Series 1 maybe didn't sell well enough, I don't know. Big Bad Toy Store was blowing out a full case of the Series 2 figures for a lot less than I could have ever found them in the stores, so I finally said, all right, I'm going to buy this case, then I've got the whole Series 2 plus the variants, fantastic. And I went on to learn, in fact, this is actually what what made me decide to get the case, that the line's been discontinued, which is too bad. I think that that was actually not announced so much, but one of the people who was able to talk to a representative from that company at Toy Fair was able to learn that they're not doing Legendary Heroes Series 3. It was all made and was sculpted and prototyped and whatnot, but they scrapped it, which is a real bummer. And they're in theory going to be doing, you know, some more work with Hasbro, quote-unquote, whatever that means. Nobody's really sure, but...
So they lost the license, or...
It's unclear. I think they just didn't sell well enough, and so they decided to can Series 3.
That's too bad. And do you know the listing of who was slated to be?
I haven't committed it to memory, unfortunately. It is available online. I'll see if I can post it to the show notes. But so I am delighted, though, to have Series 1 and 2, and that we'll be able to do a photo retrospective of those two, of this short-lived kind of latter-day Toy Biz series on the preserve. What I am missing is those two packs, but, you know, hey, that's all right. Got all the singles, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, if you ever need them, Charlie, you know, I happen to be in areas where I can buy them very, you know, more often than not, so just let me know.
You do still see those on the pegs, huh?
Yeah, no, I do. I think so. I know I've seen Conan lately. I don't know if I've seen the other one of, like, the giant guy with the yellow face and
right.
a black T-shirt and the girl.
Right, right. Well, we'll probably talk about that Conan one, Uncle. That's definitely enticing. Definitely.
Oh,
so are you still enthralled and looking at the Sunny Puppets?
Well, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't, so I'm going to close that right now.
Well, I was just going to say, unless you have any further thoughts, we could wrap this up for the week, and then you and the Sunny Puppets can spend a productive evening together.
I can get a lot of work done looking at puppets of Jesus and Moses and Mary Magdalene, oddly enough.
And Esther, you know?
Yeah, I guess you can reenact your very own Da Vinci Code.
That should be their new marketing. Their new marketing slogan.
Absolutely.
Well, everybody, I hope that you've enjoyed this kind of disjointed romp through the 2008 Toy Fair. Remember to check out our gallery with a whole myriad of producers, large and small, for some great pictures and some great discussion about the products that we saw. And Uncle, thank you very much for all the great work on that. And it's excellent that we could finally bring some closure to this event.
Absolutely. I just want to say thank you, Charlie, for taking all those wonderful pictures and doing a heck of a job posting them. I mean, the amount of content, the sheer quantity of all the different pictures and merchandise that we have, I'm going to say is unrivaled anywhere else on the internet. I mean, you can't find it. You want more comprehensive coverage, you cannot find it of 2008. So again, paragamer.com, anything you could ever have an interest in. Charlie's posted Tonner dolls, for Christ's sake. So just everyone be sure, if you haven't, you know, check that daily, because it is updated daily and there's always cool stuff popping up on there.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Uncle. Absolutely. And we're all looking forward to having even more articles about some detail of that. Oh, and as an aside, as a note to our listeners, the Preserve will now be attending the San Diego Comic-Con in July and bringing you absolutely all the coverage that we can from that fantastic event. So that is one to look for.
Very cool.
All right. Well, Uncle, nice job. Good talking to you, as always, and have fun with those puppets.
Have a good night, Charlie.
All right. Later.
Bye.
See how the pictures came out?
Charlie, there's a devil puppet.
The devil one?
Holy shit.
You know, I think I didn't even see the devil one. Like I said, I didn't actually spend much time on their site because it itself was overwhelming to me. But I was amused by their very small category of magical creatures, and their magical creatures category included a wizard and Santa Claus. Awesome.
Oh my God, I'm so getting that devil. That thing is metal.
Yeah, excellent. I'll have to check it out.
Biblical puppets too? I'm going to get Jesus to fight the devil.